Welcome. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to you here in the theater. Welcome to those listening at home, at work, at the gym, in a coma. I don't think I've really done this too many times on this show, but for the only times I'm going to unwelcome the guy who got on the train with me with a gigantic bag of helium balloons. Let me set the scene for you. I'm trying to get here. I want to be on time for sound check, and I'm just standing there on a very crowded subway train, and then all of a sudden I feel a very hard to describe sensation on the back of my head. It was not somebody bumping into me. It was not somebody touching me. I could tell it was not a person. It was so soft. And I turned around to see this comically gigantic bag of very big helium balloons. Not like the regular kind that a human would buy. But gigantic helium balloons. And they were just on me. But it wasn't uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I had a right to complain, really. If I'm honest, there was something that was very comforting about it, but that's not the point. Let's say you're having a bad day, someone comes up and puts an Afghan blanket around you. That might be comforting, but you didn't ask for that to happen. So then the gentleman at one point was, I don't know what was going on. It seemed like he was maybe leaving the train and his balloons got caught in the door, like he was separated from his balloons. People around me were losing their minds, like, oh no! Like, they're not his children. Who cares? The worst case scenario is he's separated from these dumb balloons. And now we're just on a train with a bunch of ownerless balloons. So then it turns out, I can't say it turned out because I don't know what happened, but he was still on the train. I think he just got lost in his own balloons. And maybe people thought the balloons were now, they were taking people down. Then a couple stops later, he got off with his balloons. Who knows where he went? Who knows what those balloons were for? Who knows who wants balloons in the first place? It's what you're doing is when you give somebody a bunch of balloons, you're saying, would you like some trash? It's sky trash right now, but soon it will be floor trash. Oh yeah, these aren't the kind that last forever. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Spontaneous Nation with Paul F. Tompkins. I am the second part. This is a show where I invite a special guest onto the program to join me in a free-form conversation inspired by a blind question from our previous episode's guest. Then, I invite some improviser pals onto the show to join me in a narrative improv that is one continuous story as opposed to unconnected scenes, oftentimes utilizing details from the free-form conversation with a special guest and inspired by a location that the aforementioned special guest provides. I said some things out of order and then it really wrecked me. And it is all scored on piano by Mr. Evan Schlecker. That's what he goes like. Hi. my great pleasure to welcome back to the Bell House, to Spontaneity Nation, my friends from the Spontorco. Please first say hello to Eugene Cordero.
I was worried how that was going to turn out, because if we were at the
waving,
same place,
you're worried how your waving was going to turn out.
Yeah, because if we went in for the hug and all and our hands were at the bottom at the same time, then, you know, I don't know what was going to happen. I still don't.
You thought we would be lightly brushing each other's genitals?
Yeah. I just thought it would be a weird hug if, like, one pair of hands were down here and the other pair. Hands are up here, and we're still shaking them instead of like getting ready for a hug.
Let's see what happens. So it's not so bad.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. That's not so bad. Try it
again. I guess I don't know why I was so afraid.
Do you know why, Eugene? It was a new thing.
It was. I hate new things.
Right?
I only do things that I'm comfortable with. So this is going to be a blast.
What is a thing that you have never tried that you maybe have wanted to try but still haven't brought yourself to do it?
That I've wanted to do but I haven't done it.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever like done skydiving?
No,
like
I never would.
And you don't want to?
Nope.
But is there a thing? First of all, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Like, as much as people talk about it, if you ever talk to somebody who has done it, you know it because they will tell you about it.
Yeah.
That's not true.
But it's also one of those things where it just doesn't make sense. Hey, do you want to go jump out of a plane?
Yeah, I don't need
it's
to
like,
do it.
No. That sounds insane.
Yeah. I don't need that experience.
I also don't want some other guy strapped to my back who like had taught me a lesson like that day.
Yeah.
And then just go like, trust me, we'll both survive. Like, I barely know you. You taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
And your lesson was to keep my hands kind of in and tuck my chin. That's not a lesson.
You seem to know a lot about it.
You know why? The closest I've gotten to is going to one of those tube ones where you go like,
oh yeah,
at like Universal Studios.
That I would do.
Yeah, and you just like go there and then they turn the fan on. And
yeah.
Then you, it's like Charlie the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do that.
I would do that with a grandpa.
But you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You would do it with a grandpa?
Yeah, I'd do it with Charlie's grandpa. Oh.
Eugene, I have some terrible news.
What? What? Oh yeah, he can't be my grandpa. I know. We don't look alike.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Have you ever bungee jumped?
Nope.
You wouldn't do that either.
No. That's another one of those things. So they teach you. You know, your ankle will be fine. And then they strap it to your ankle, and then hopefully your ankle is fine and not slippery. Or strapped in or whatever. I use a lot of moisturizer.
Eugene has famously greasy ankles.
Yeah. If halfway through the show, my socks will slip off.
He just walks right out.
Whoop.
It's like, oh, did Eugene get raptured? No. Huge. So what's the thing that you would do? Like an adventurous kind of thing that you would do?
This is not adventurous, but this is the thing that came to my mind. Horrible. I'll go whale watching. You know, just because I'm like, every time I've seen videos of people whale watching, it's very early in the morning.
Yeah.
And it looks very cold. So I'm like, ooh. Like, that seems pretty intense to just watch a bunch of whales and then you go back to home.
My wife and I went on a whale watching
trip. Oh, you did it? Okay.
In Iceland, we did not see a single whale, but we did see people from all over the world throwing up.
Ooh, then that's what I do want. That's something adventurous.
You like boats? I like boats a lot.
I love boats.
See, that's kind of adventurous, though. A lot of people are afraid of boats.
Yeah. Are you afraid of boats on oceans? Some people are not afraid of, like, going out on a lake, but people don't like how big the ocean is.
I like how big the ocean is.
Yeah.
I do. I've been on an ocean liner where you get to that point where you're just surrounded by water.
Yes.
And to me, it's the best. Like some people, looking up at the stars or the ocean coming in or being in a place like that, it makes them feel insignificant.
Yeah.
To me, that's a relief.
I hear you.
It's like, great.
Yeah.
I don't really have to worry about anything.
Yeah, because you can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other than water.
Yeah, but it sort of makes me feel like, oh yeah, everything's bullshit. Who cares?
Water makes you think that?
Well,
or the ocean?
When I'm reduced to a tiny speck in the universe.
See, water just in general makes me think that. Every time I drink water.
When
I
you
go,
drink water?
Yeah. Huh. Even when I drink it, I go like, huh, this is 90% of my body? I'm nothing.
90%?
Is it like water like 70% of your body?
Look, you went down.
I went down once I looked around and everybody went like, I have some friends out here making sure that I don't look that.
It is. Is it in the 70s or the 80s?
72. Yeah.
What an auction we have going on. 72, somebody said?
Yeah. Very specific.
All right. 90s high.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I went high. I went for it. I knew it was not 100. Come on. Then what would my lotion stick to?
Eugene Wade, you had a story about working on Conchal Island. And where you were jumping out of a helicopter or something?
I was shooting... I was shooting Kong, but it was really just a green dot.
Right.
Out of a helicopter. But I was strapped in.
Right.
To the helicopter, but they still had the helicopter pilot fly it very fast towards this camera that was about like 40 or 50 feet off of the ground. And then they would have it whip sideways so that I could shoot a gun outside of the helicopter.
Was the helicopter that low to the ground as well?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then
I don't like that
when they turned, I could feel my body like, you know, wanting to fall out of the helicopter.
Yes.
And shooting a gun. And there was a stuntman who was comically like John Goodman's stunt double, but was just this ripped dude with John Goodman's beard just holding on to me. And the whole time as I was shooting, he goes, got you, bro. So I heard that as I'm shooting the gun. So I felt, you know, pretty tough still, but there was a man holding my belt going, got you, bro. Dressed like John Goodman. And then after the shot was done, you know, him looking at me and going like, we did it.
Eugene Cordero, ladies and gentlemen! Oh, my friend, say hello to Tawny Newsom!
Hi! There we go! Why we have this?
Tawny, welcome!
Thank you!
We
did a little patty cake.
Was that something you grew up doing? Did you know all the hand games that little girls know?
I don't know if I knew them, but I did them. Because you don't really know. I didn't know the long, complicated ones.
Miss Mary Mac, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. I blame it on not having siblings.
Right.
So I would hang as long as I could, and then I'd be like, I'm going to go read Ramona and Beezus.
Our married friends, Matt Gourley and Amanda Lund, because they were both, okay. Because they're both from California, I watched them realize that they knew the same one of those games.
Wait.
You know, they didn't grow up together.
Are they from the same town in California?
They're very close to each other, yeah.
I'm also from California. I don't know
but
any
you're
of
you're from
the...
like a weird place.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. We didn't get hand games there.
But you did get horses!
No! Nope. So I was just in Atlanta for 2 months. That was really fun.
Right. Let's talk about the outfits that you would wear in the competitions. Like, would you wear like a sort of like cowgirl kind of thing with fringe sleeves and stuff like that?
I loved Atlanta. I worked on a cool show. It was nice to get out of LA for a couple months. I got a nice awesome. I'm just gonna keep doing this. I'm just gonna.
Now I feel, Tana, you're under the impression that people don't want to hear this. And I'm here to tell you, you're dead wrong.
I'm not under that impression. I'm under the impression that I don't want to talk about horses anymore. So I'm taking control of the narrative.
Well, I want to put horses back into the narrative.
Yes, I would wear kind of cowgirl-esque outfits. Now, Paul, you love baseball.
Yes, I do.
I am not a lover of baseball.
Right.
And that is 98% because I could not understand what was happening, and I would get very bored because it seems slow. What do you do when nothing's happening on the field?
Well, first of all, it only seems slow because it is. what I enjoy about the slowness of baseball is the tension of it.
There's tension?
There's tension because, yes, there's tension.
Okay.
Because you're, first of all, if you want to like really make it real basic, you're waiting for something to happen.
Right.
But there's the tension between the pitcher and the batter.
Uh-huh.
Who are both trying to make the other person bad at their job.
Okay.
And so it's the tension of the pitcher getting ready to throw a pitch that is going to make the batter do a thing that he wants that batter to do.
Oh.
And then it's also the tension of the batter getting ready for that pitch, uh-huh. not knowing what it's going to be, but having to do some math in his head of this is what he's probably going to try to do. Mm. At the very least, he's like, I'm looking for that perfect pitch that I can hit with this bat and get on base, if not a home run.
Okay.
And so that to me is exciting, but it's like a nice slow excitement.
Yeah. I think I'm always getting a beer during that moment.
Sure.
So then I come back and I'm like, they still haven't thrown the thing, what's happening?
There's a lot of those moments. That's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Now you went to an Atlanta game, baseball game.
Yes, I went to an Atlanta baseball game. They still do the chop, you guys. Didn't realize that when I went. Didn't know, was confused and sad and a little scared.
Tony was texting me from that game.
Because I was like, Paula loved knowing that I went to a baseball game. Isn't this fun? Peanuts and whatnot.
That's how it started.
And then I think I switched to all caps and was just like, oh God, the chop. Why didn't you tell me?
Oh no, what is happening? I think was the first thing you took.
It was so scary. It was just, I mean, just so many white people just suddenly getting up like, ah! And you're like, what? For someone who has such limited knowledge of baseball and I like had forgotten that they were one of those teams that still do that shit, I was just like, this is it. We all have to run now.
Right.
It was bad.
So like a cowboy hat, right?
Yeah, I still have it. It still fits.
Is that true?
Yeah! What am I gonna do with it?
That's not the surprising part, that you still have it.
What's surprising? That it fits?
That it still fits.
I was doing this when I was like 17. I don't think your head grows that much.
Oh, I got news for you. Now look, I'm a bit older than you.
So my head's gonna grow a lot, is what you're telling me?
We'll see.
I can't wait.
You might have a growth spurt. When's the last time you wore that hat?
Probably for like a Halloween costume in college, I bet. Yeah. It doesn't get a lot of wear.
Oh, sure.
I think I'm gonna wear it more. It's a nice hat. I remember it was like expensive when we bought it. I don't wanna talk about this! You lured me into it.
Why do you not want to talk about it?
Because I'm just like, because I'm becoming horse girl on the internet. Two.
Are people giving you a hard time?
Well, you know what? I think honestly what bothers me about it is that people associate horses with wealth.
Right.
And it just makes me, one, laugh, and two, when I told that to my mom, who was like, I mean, she was mad because she's like, we didn't have any money. And I'm like, I know, but like when you have horses, it seems like you do.
Right.
Because those are the only images. Guys, we need more representation of poor horse people.
And Tawny, that's why I bring it up every single time. Tawny Newsom, ladies and gentlemen. guys, I was thrilled to come here to New York and have this guest on my show, someone I'm a big fan of, an extremely talented singer and actress. Please welcome to Spontaneous Nation, Natalie Walker. Natalie Walker. Natalie, hello.
Hello, Paul.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I was thrilled it sounded like there are three people that know who I am, and so that's like thrilling to me.
I would say more people are fans of yours here than are fans of the Clock app.
That's all I've been gunning for. I've been waiting. It's been me and the Clock app in so many rooms over and over.
The ancient rival. How many people are familiar with Natalie's work? There you go. I first discovered you on Twitter and your fantastic thread of auditions for various movie tropes.
Yeah.
Yes, all unsuccessful. But I was still, and then we corresponded a few times online, and then I was like, let's fucking get Natalie on here.
Let's
Why not?
Do it, finally.
And you said yes.
Get her
Thank
in this theater with these chandeliers.
Right? Oh, I love a chandelier!
Absolutely! Yeah, very Phantom of the Opera. We need it.
The Phantom of the Opera?
No.
This guy's a real creep, right?
Oh, for sure. I would say absolutely the men's rights activist of musical theater characters.
Was he, do you think he was the first incel?
Oh. He loves Reddit.
Yeah.
Notoriously invented Reddit.
He would be all over Reddit.
Yeah. I gave her singing lessons. Why won't she fuck me? Yeah.
Natalie, I have a question for you from our previous episode's guest.
Incredible. All right.
I'm glad you're on board with all these concepts.
Yeah. Sure.
Are you curious as to the identity of our previous episode's guest?
Yeah.
Well, then, Natalie, I would direct you and the listener to the Spontaneous Nation archive on Stitcher Premium for but a small fee. Hours of listening pleasure await you. Natalie, here's the question.
Great. Oh, what a fake out.
That's a joke I retired some time ago. And I just thought, hey, let's bring it back.
Yeah, it's the home stretch. Right. You gotta do it. Exactly. Bring back the hits.
Exactly. Here's the question. How are you like your parents, good and bad?
Oh, okay. This is great because I have been told, like, anytime anyone meets both of my parents at once, it's very wild for them because I'm just like a 50-50 split of
really?
Both of them. Yeah. So my mom hates theater so much. Oh, she hates it so much. I cannot tell you. She falls asleep during all of it. She is sort of like, oh, I guess Natalie does that, and like she's okay at it. That's fun for her. My mom wanted desperately for me to play sports. Wanted me to play softball, actually. My mom played softball forever, made me play softball for a very long time. And literally, my boyfriend met my mom for the first time last fall, and she just spent the entire dinner being like, well, Natalie didn't play softball, so, and like, Nico is sitting there and is like, oh, well, she's good at other things now. And my mom's like, no, but she couldn't do softball. She was just doing her nails. but my mom is super extroverted and loud and wild. And so I like feel a kinship with her in that regard when we're at parties. My dad is he wasn't into theater before I got into it, but he is a voracious pop culture consumer and just loves all of it and gets so excited about all of it. So he was just like, oh, a new thing I can know random trivia about? I'll take Natalie to all the shows. And now he texts me and he's like, did you see Raul Esparza is on SVU? He's the DA now. yeah. My dad is a big Barba fan. And my dad is like generally more low-key and soft-spoken, but also with my dad, I'm like very extroverted until there's just a switch that goes off in my brain, and I don't know when it'll happen, but it's just like at any gathering, I'll just be like, I don't want to be here anymore, and I'm going to just sneak out. I am queen of the Irish exit. I will just leave. I fade away into the darkness. And my dad is the same way. My mom will, like, end the party. Every party, my mom is the last one there. My dad is like, okay, I've been magnanimous for long enough, and now I'm going to retire to my den and watch a movie by myself. Watch some, like, documentary. Watch. Yeah.
So when you started doing theater, was it in high school?
No, my sister was born and...
Older, younger?
Younger. She was cuter than I was immediately. Mm. And I was used to getting a correct level of attention, yeah, which was all of it.
Yeah.
And then she came along and took that away from me. And so I was like, well, what can I do now that I am not the cute one? And so I would just like imitate songs on the radio. Mm-hmm. And my dad always watched these old SNL sketches. And so I would imitate all of the like old Gilda Radner stuff. And I was like, what art form brings both singing and doing dumb bits together? And that was musical theater. And so I started doing it. I went to a theater camp all through high school. And
like preteen you're talking about? Like when you
preteen,
first started doing this stuff.
Yeah, well... Preteen, I did it in middle school. We did, my middle school was not a great middle school, and so no one really cared about the drama program, but I was very gung-ho about it, and the drama teacher knew we had, like, one gung-ho person. So she had us do a production of West Side Story. But, like, no one...
Of all shows!
Yeah.
To do
an
with
easy
people
one.
Who are not, who
no,
don't
no, no,
want to do a show.
No, an easy one, yeah, for no one that wants to be there. Yeah. And, no, but she made it work by cutting all of the music.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So...
Did she consider moving the location to, like, maybe Italy?
No, she literally was just like... And it wasn't even the... musical script. She literally like went and got the movie script from like allscripts.com and right. was like, we're gonna do this, and then none of the actual songs except that they did America as a step dance / rap, so they spoke
so mad.
They spoke all the lyrics. And then I...
Wow.
Yeah. It was deeply problematic. And I played Maria. And I sang like four bars of Somewhere after Tony died. So at the very end of the show, it decided to be a musical when I just started singing Somewhere.
Not even the whole song.
No, not even the whole song. It was just what is left in the movie as a reprise after like the whole like Gino, that is the monologue as I did it. Yeah, just did the "There's a place for us," and that was dead. That was the end. And then I went to a different school after that year, and we did Damn Yankees, and that was my other preteen thing. Mm. But that sort of start. I was Lola in Damn Yankees, and that started a chain where I was just like a 35-year-old slut in everything I did. From age 12 onward. That was it. Yeah.
What were some of your favorite slut roles?
Oh! Let's get comfy. I was the acid queen in The Who's Tommy.
Produced this?
Oh, this was at a little camp called Stage Door Manor. Stage Door Manor.
Oh boy.
Yep. And I'm sure they will love being name dropped, baby. it was
Manor.
In the Catskills, and like a lot of very fancy people went there. And it is the movie that it is the camp that this movie called Camp is based on, mm-hmm. and was shot at. And I saw the movie Camp like one day on a sick day in middle school, and I was like, how can I go to this camp that is doing Fiddler on the Roof and Dreamgirls? And I immediately signed up, and then my first year there, I played like side prostitutes in like Jekyll and Hyde the musical, and then I went back the next year, and they were like, they were like, you've graduated to a prostitute that sings.
Right.
for the Who's Tommy, and I, like, my braces are, like, fresh out of my mouth. Like, you can still tell that I'm having trouble, like, navigating right. how to make sounds without the orthodontia. And I'm, yeah, I'm fully 14 years old in, like, a corset and a tutu, and it's too low for me because it's written for Tina Turner.
Right.
And so I'm, like, trying to do fake out riffs to get around it. So I'm like, if your child ain't all he should be now, this girl will put him right. It's a nightmare. So I did that. I did.
What, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Was there any thought given to changing the key? Or do they just say,
this is the way it is? No, the music directors that are there, like, because something else has fallen through. Right. And it's tough for them to be there. Yeah. So you're like, okay, you're going to wait to go to the bar after this and complain about having to do it. And that's fine. So I did that. I played Fantine in Les Mis. Mm-hmm. Many a prostitute. Who else? Kate in The Wild Party.
Mm. That one I'm not, I've heard of it, but
yeah,
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, there are the multiple versions
of it. The other one, sorry to nerd out.
I'm so happy you're nerding out about it. It's the Lipa, and I was, at the time,
superior
I was like,
version.
Lipa's full of bops. Lipa has the bops.
Lipa has
I
the
get
bops.
That LaCusa does the jazzy stuff that is appropriate to period, but nah. Lipa let me sing Life of the Party. And they cut all the part where I was supposed to be doing cocaine in the show,
sure.
but they did keep in everything where I got to be like, I'm gonna like fuck you dead. Like, it's and this was a full camp that was like ages 10 to 18.
Oh my God.
And every session, the night before show weekend, you would have a sneak peek where every show would do one number from their show to show the whole camp. And
I'm sorry. How many shows are happening?
Oh, 12. 12, yeah. There were, I think, 5 plays and 7 musicals wow. going on at one time, and you would put them up in 3 weeks. Yeah, it was
really 3 weeks?
Psycho, yeah. But at Sneak Peek, we did a song from The Wild Party called The Juggernaut, where everyone is trying to fuck each other and like talks about like, hey, I want to fuck you during this next dance that we're going to do. Like I would, and I literally had to like mimeful. And my director told me was like, and now like you get down and you like sort of mime going down on verse. And I'm looking down and here's the cast of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat Jr. I'm like, Yeah. They had like just finished their number, and I'm like, you're learning.
So did you, you said your dad got into musical theater when you did,
mm-hmm.
as a result of you doing it.
Yes.
And was it, I mean, did he express to you that he was like thrilled that you were doing this cool thing, or was it just?
Yes. Oh, my dad was always very excited. Well, once I sort of proved that I could be good at it, they were okay with it. Like it was more a thing that when I was just, because this is a phenomenon, I'm from Northern Virginia, so like there's not a lot at my school, no one really cared about theater, the program wasn't great. And so what it became was like all the weird kids that had nowhere else to go would be in theater. And so I think my mom and dad were both like, well, it's waste money going to this camp for this, and we don't like it. But they came, and once I started getting parts, they were like, oh, this. And my mom equated it to travel softball. She was like, oh, I see. This is travel theater, and Natalie is the shortstop starting. And that was how she got okay with it. Yeah.
What position did you play in softball?
I was left field.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was right field on my 8th grade baseball team.
Hell yeah, you get those bunts, you get the run off of those bunts, see?
Well, I can boast, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, I never hit or I think swung at a single ball. This is before I realized I needed glasses. I might have taken a couple swings if I had been clear on where the ball was. But I can boast a perfect fielding record of hitting, of catching the one ball that was ever hit to me. Thank you. Did you have any triumphs on the softball field?
Oh, God. I was very good at cheering.
notoriously great at cheering. I did catch, I think I caught a fly ball at a game one time, and my mom will not stop talking about it, and it is like her favorite thing. And I did make varsity my freshman year of high school. I played I played 1 year, and it was just because I had had experience playing because my mom made me. And as it was my freshman year of high school, my mom was like, you have to try it at least 1 year. And so I played varsity 1 year. And then I was like, being a freshman on varsity is great because I never played. Mm-hmm. They just had me on the bench the whole time. And I just got like the camaraderie of it and got to be in another photo in the yearbook. And then that was it. And then I quit after that year. It's like, I'm done.
Was that the last time you did a sport of any kind?
Absolutely.
Natalie Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my friend. We are going to take another break. During the break. Guys. I gotta ask you. Don't just cheer for random shit. It's unsettling. We're gonna take a break. Very exciting. During the break, we will procure a location for our improv from our guest, Natalie Walker. And then when we return, we're gonna do that improv. All this and nothing else when Spontaneous Nation returns! Ta-da! Welcome back to Spontaneous Nation! Well, friends, it is time to reveal the location for our improv provided to us by our guest, Natalie Walker. But first, just so as you know, in order to aid us in our storytelling, we use three sound effects that move us about in space and time. Let's say we're in a scene and we need to travel into the past for some reason. Let's say somebody's having a memory, we're learning how something came to be. Anytime we need to travel in the past, we use this flashback sound effect. Now, you can't stay in the past forever, folks. Let's say we want to return where we were from the flashback. Gotta get back in time. Anytime we move forward in time, we use this flash forward sound effect. Now, this final sound moves us only in space, not in time. Let's say we're in a scene. We need to know what's happening at the exact same moment somewhere else. We are moving only laterally in time. Sliding doors! We use this meanwhile sound effect. Past. Present. Future. Everyone gets it. Parking lot at a Fish concert. Parking lot at a Fish concert. We take you now to parking lot at a Fish concert.
What is happening? Why isn't anybody going inside? Hey, why isn't anybody going?
What?
How come everybody's, the show's already, I mean.
Hey.
Hey.
This is your first time at a Fish concert?
It is, well, I'm not in the concert yet. That's why I was like.
Guess what? You are.
I am?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah. It's part of it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I work here at the Arco Arena.
Oh, you do?
I see a lot of concerts, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep people safe.
Oh, thank you.
She does.
You're welcome.
I was here for another concert before.
Me too.
Yeah.
What concert were you here for before?
I was here for a Boyz II Men concert. They were having a reunion.
Yeah, what year?
Last year.
Long coats?
Yep. Three
of them in long coats. Fourth one didn't make it.
Ah. Yeah, I worked that concert.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
It was a fun one.
Yeah, it kept people safe. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember nothing happening. Like, negatively.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my coworkers say I only choose the concerts where no shit is gonna happen, but I just, you know, I like the peaceful bands.
Yeah.
Hi, Reva.
Hi, what's up? That's Maloney.
Hey, Maloney.
Maloney. Oh. And that's no baloney.
Oh,
that's
wait.
Maloney's signature catchphrase. He's been coming to concerts for years.
I love concerts.
Just concerts in general, but mainly Phish concerts, right?
I mean, Phish has like become a lifestyle for me.
Yeah.
But I do go to a lot of other concerts, and sometimes I feel like if Phish knew I was going to a bunch of other concerts and not exclusively Phish concerts,
yeah,
would they get jealous?
I don't know. But this is, are you Manny Maloney?
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy said, go to a Phish concert. He was like, what was the craziest thing you'd do? And I go, I guess go to a Phish concert. He goes, you should go. But if you go to one, look for a guy named Manny Maloney or something like that.
What a weird instruction to give you.
Yeah, yeah. He said that like there's a few people in the world of concerts that can guide you all the way through a concert.
Oh.
What was he going to tell you to do if your answer to what's the craziest thing you'd do was different? Like, what if you were like, go to a pet store and not buy anything?
Wait, I lost track of the dare. What was it again? Your friend said to you...
What's the craziest thing that you would ever do?
And you said go to a concert?
A Phish concert.
A Phish concert,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because I hear they're crazy.
And look around.
Yeah, this is crazy already. I mean, nobody's gone into the concert yet. Everybody's out here and there's a bunch of people asking me if I'm an angel or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you?
I don't know. Am I?
I guess you'd know if you were.
Oh, okay.
It's disappointing.
Okay.
I mean, you can go in. The doors are open. You're allowed.
Oh, great.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Why?
Well, there's like a fellowship that happens out here in the parking lot. And people just, we're like a community, you know?
Yeah, it's Manny's turn to give testimony.
Yeah.
Huh.
You came at the exact right time.
Oh, man.
Hey, gather around, everybody. Gather around. You know, as I see all of your faces in this parking lot, and we're waiting out this song that is not very popular, I can't help but think, what if the rest of the world was like us? Being in a wonderful, warm fellowship, giving out drugs to each other, being high, listening to music that other people don't want to listen to. Everyone here is so positive and so nice, and yet we are despised and reviled. Why is that? We're literally not hurting anybody. We're not making anybody listen to the music. We're all here. So thank you, my brothers and sisters, and everything in between, for giving me this strength. I needed it today. And if anyone has any drugs, I would like them.
Isn't he so great at this?
Yeah.
He learned how to give concert testimony at a camp you went to every year, right? When you were a kid?
Every single year.
Talk about the first one. Okay, campers, line up. Here we go. This is camp. Welcome. Your parents didn't want you this afternoon.
Is that the whole name?
Yep. It applies to each and every one of you. Otherwise,
and this camp only lasts the afternoon?
It's what's commonly known as a day camp. You come in the day, you leave, you go sleep somewhere else. Because you know what? I'm not your mother. I'm not making a bed for you. You come here to learn skills.
Oh,
namely,
okay.
The skills of how to talk meaningfully about music that you like. Raise your hand if you ever liked anything.
I like things.
Trick question, you don't know how to appreciate it yet.
Hey, I didn't want to come to this dumb camp, but now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, me too. Because I raised my hand, and I still don't know why.
Question for the court. Knock, knock, knock with the hammer. Who here has ever been to a concert?
Concert? What's that?
Yeah.
Great question. That's why you're at this day camp for semi-orphaned children's.
Man, this camp is getting more confusing, but I'm into it.
The more confusing it gets, the more intrigued I am.
Yeah, me too.
Have you ever seen your parents listening to a record on wax? I didn't say raise your hand. I asked a yes or no. You are dumb fucking kids.
Hey, was she dancing like Rerun?
I don't know. Seemed like it, right?
Yeah.
Is she Rerun?
You don't think?
I don't know. Everything is so confusing.
Look, kids, I didn't ask a question. Why'd you raise your hand?
I always raise my hand.
All I did was make eye contact.
As soon as you were going to say anything, I assumed I did it.
Look, you kids are here because you don't know how to appreciate anything. It's a problem with your generation. Generation X, they were all about grunge. Generation Y, you guys are all like, why? Generation Z is the one below you. Did you know that?
Hey.
Yep.
Did you teach us how to appreciate things yet?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you appreciating this?
I'm not hating it.
Yeah.
Then I think you have your answer. Look here, kids. The only way you know if you really like something is if you're called upon to give an impromptu speech about it and you can speak eloquently. Are you ever gonna be able to be a best man at someone's wedding without that knowledge? Riddle me that.
Wait a minute. The question was, would I ever be a best man at a wedding that I didn't realize I was gonna be the best man and give a best man speech?
The real question was, riddle me that.
Now you're starting to catch on.
Yeah, that place closed down. That lady went to jail for fraud.
Really?
But I learned something very important from her. If you don't know what you're doing, just act like you do. That's really most of life.
Really? Well, I mean, your speech was pretty amazing.
Thanks, man.
Heartfelt, and if I had drugs on me, I'd give them to you.
That's a cold comfort, but thank you.
Hey, I've seen a lot of shows here, you guys.
Yeah, I've seen one. Boys to Men.
Yep.
Last year. Only three of them showed up.
Yeah.
Long coats,
yeah. Oh, you were here for that conversation.
I've been here the whole time.
Oh, man, Manny!
I feel like I should tell you guys, I've seen Fish here a lot, too, and, you know, they play a lot of songs that they wrote a lot of years ago.
Yeah?
Some of the music is, it's a little too low for them to sing anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, it's like it was for Tina Turner or somebody, but they're still doing them same numbers, so,
Well, but they wrote the music too, right?
Oh, don't I know it?
But did they write it for Tina Turner?
Could have been, man. It was the mid-90s. Everybody was writing songs for Tina Turner.
Yeah. Well? How's it going?
Yeah.
I'm performing at 8 o'clock tonight!
Yep.
And I need a concert for the songs! We're trying our best.
Absolutely,
Show me the songs you have so far!
Okay. This one, you know, I normally write for myself, but, I don't know.
Best forward!
Okay, I just thought I'd write this one. This one's kind of like, it would be on piano, so it'd be like, it's about like some kind of tough stuff. It'd be like, she's a brick and I'm drowning, so, you know. And like, I thought I would sing it, but like, it's weird because it's like about abortion and I'm like a dude.
Tina Turner rejects it!
Okay, all right.
Next!
Okay, I write a lot of songs for usually men.
You're boring, Tina!
Okay. Anyways, it goes, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
I shall have you beheaded.
Yes, you know how everybody was doing that back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Fish dudes, they wrote this stuff for Tina, and she must have rejected it or something.
So they performed it themselves, and they can't sing it now?
I don't want to say they can't. They're okay. Great. It's yeah. Just a little bit of a struggle, because you know how as you age, your voice gets higher?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what naturally happens.
Yeah.
That all
it makes sense, because your voice box
yeah.
is higher in the air now.
Right.
Yeah.
Closer to the angels.
You should have heard
what?
Me when
angels?
I was...
Yeah. Did you nope. say angels?
I said you're closer to the angels. Oh. I'm not an angel.
I was just going to say you should have heard me when I was a kid.
Okay.
Mom.
Yeah?
Mom. How come they make Dunkaroos in the same shape packaging that they make the cheese and stick snack? One sweet and one savory, but you can't use the cracker slash cookie for the other one.
Right.
And it leads to a lot of confusing lunches.
Okay. All right. Sweetie, I understand your problem.
Mom. Hi, Mom. I'm home from kindergarten.
Hey.
So I just feel like if you know the words to the songs.
Yeah.
Like, maybe join in, you know?
Oh, okay.
Help them sing it.
Okay, I'm not gonna.
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Oh, Matt.
Matt. Hey, Matt.
Wait, what's his name?
What's my name?
What's your name?
Matt.
Okay.
What's my name?
Manny.
Manny Man Maloney.
Maloney.
Manny Man Maloney.
Manny yep. Man Maloney.
Manny Man Maloney.
God, so cool, I'm so happy I ran into you.
Listen.
What's my name?
What was it?
Reva.
Reva.
Yes.
Huh?
Hey.
Hi.
Huh?
Look, man. Matt, everybody sings along at the Fish Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So even if I don't know the words?
It does.
There's not that many.
Matter less. No. There's not that many.
No.
Okay.
It just gets, here's the thing, man. It just like, it turns into just a sea of noisy love. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm new to this. I like it so far. They told me, my friends told me two things. First, meet Manny Maloney.
Done.
And that'll help me out. And then secondly, sit on page side, ridge side. That's all I know.
That's all you need to know, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why didn't they come with you?
Hey, yeah. What are your friends doing right now? Oh, thank God it worked.
God, I know. It's just, it's like he's always with us.
Yeah.
And I just needed him to be somewhere for 4 to 7 hours.
This was a good plan, and I'm sorry that my dare to go to the pet store and not buy anything didn't pan out.
Honestly, it's a weird dare. I don't know why you even brought that up.
I guess because I did it once and it was a rush.
Yeah. But yeah, we needed some time apart. I can't believe this worked. We're going to have to do this every time with him because he won't move out of our apartment.
It feels weird to outgrow a friend, you know?
Yeah, but like, he's bad. Like, I can't count how many sweatpants brunches he's done where he makes everyone wear sweatpants to go to the brunch.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
I mean,
oh, man, we're going to eat so much, huh?
Yeah.
Is this what you wanted?
Yeah. I mean, those look like joggers, but they'll pass.
Well,
you know, joggers are similar to sweatpants, but they're a little tighter and form-fitting. I wanted sweatpants.
Why you did know? You insist on bringing us to this fancy hotel?
Because they have the best eggs.
Are we even going to be...
Do have the best
they
eggs.
Do.
Hotels notoriously yeah. have the best eggs.
They always have.
Egg inspection. Line them up.
Oh.
Oh boy, boss!
Oh no, boss!
Oh no, boss!
Oh no!
Oh,
who is this?
What?
Huh? Uh oh, he's putting on the gloves!
Oh no!
He's touching the poached egg!
I wouldn't throw this egg in Tina Turner's face!
Oh, we're sorry, boss. They asked for soft boiled. It's the softest boil you can do.
It's not the matter of boiling. It's the egg itself. I want the best.
They threw it on the wall of this Kimpton suite.
Yes, and I'll do it again. Put a frame around it.
What can we do to make you happy?
Get out of my sight.
What?
And find me the best eggs fit for a hotel.
You can't fire us because we have a very strong union.
I know. Just, like, get better eggs.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, we could do that. Yep. All right, let's come back.
Yeah, I don't know where they are. Huh. And they told me to leave my phone at home. So I was going to text them, but...
Oh, I've seen this before.
What?
You've been fish ditched, man.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, I've seen this at tons of concerts.
It happens a lot, Matt.
Yeah,
sorry, man.
It's always called fish ditching, which makes me think it's not actually tied to the band.
But it originated with fish.
It must have.
Because of the longer concerts.
Yeah. So your friends tell you to go to a fish concert. They give you weird instructions,
yeah.
Like meet a regular.
Yeah.
Just to get you out of their hair.
Used to be called a spring stomp. You'd send someone to a Springsteen concert, like, stomp out the friendship.
Yeah.
My friends are doing that to me?
Yeah,
sounds
man.
Like it, yeah.
A fish
so
ditch?
Yeah.
They're my best friend.
It used to be called the Beatlets. The Beatitzels. The John Lennon Get Out of Here's.
I think that's a term for something else.
The John Lennon Get Out of Here's?
Yeah.
What could it be? Is this bathroom occupied?
Get out of here!
Man, I can't believe my friends did that to me. And they're not my friends. Well, they're all I had, you know?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
I mean, my parents disowned me as soon as... My little brother was born, and he was cuter than me.
Oh. Like, unequivocally cuter than you?
Yeah. The baby was born, and a baby was cuter than me.
Like, you could see it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was obvious. It was a baby.
Because you were probably, like, an awkward age.
No. I mean, I was, like, 3. So I was still cute.
Oh.
But the baby was a baby.
Yeah.
So it's obviously going to be cuter than me.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Manny?
Yes, me. Matt, would you say you're cuter than your friends or they're cuter than you?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I guess I would call myself cuter than them.
Do you think they would agree with that?
Okay, maybe not. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Well, I have to know because I think I have a solution to your problem.
What's that?
You have to get a group of friends where you're the cutest, and they'll never abandon you. People like to be around attractive people, and they hate being around ugly people.
Do you think I can find those people here?
Yeah, man.
I think you already have.
It's us, man.
Really?
We'll be your uggos.
Look at this network of scars. And how many eyes do you think I wish I had?
He gets all his clothes from behind a Popeye's chicken.
So those are all uniforms?
That's right.
Oh, man.
I'm wearing the shirt as pants.
Wow.
What do you say, Matt?
What do you say?
Will you be our cute friend? So we have somebody to look up to?
I'd love to be that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, what about you?
Huh?
Huh?
Huh? sorry. Was it?
Was it?
Was it?
Was.
Yep. Come on, what was it?
Huh? I think you were talking.
No, you guys were talking, right?
No, you started.
You started.
You started talking, then you said, huh.
Yeah. Well,
me?
You were led into it. You were set up to say, huh. Anyway, what were you saying?
Huh? Hey. Since you got
to
my new
friend.
Did
you say hey or huh?
I said hey.
They sound the same.
I know. I'm getting older.
Hey.
Huh?
Oh,
come on. E. I O U.
That's right.
Yep.
Hey, how about this? What if you took a chance, took a turn at doing a concert testimony?
Yeah, I'll do it. Sure. With my new friends here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Surrounded by us.
Friends, welcome to the parking lot of Phish, where we are all somebody's ugly and cute friend. Somewhere where we can all feel like we're a part of something when there's not that much going on. But that's what we're here for. So, if you'd join me, grab your sweatpants, walk into the concert, enjoy some of it, and then let's go get some eggs at a Kipton Sweets. On me!
Yeah!
Was that good enough?
Matt, I think this looks like the beginning of a cute friendship.
Aww.